Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back to another episode. Happy Sunday to you. I hope you're all doing very well. I'm looking forward to this episode. Today, we're going to talk about striving and limping. Striving as in contending, wrestling, arguing, and of course, limping. Perhaps if you are familiar with the Bible story of Jacob and how he became renamed Israel, then you will probably be somewhat tuned in to these two ideas. We're going to go a little deeper, maybe take a tangent you may not have considered. But I think it's really an important topic, and here's why. Our lives are full of countless headwinds and struggles. I mean, very few things in life come easily, do they? Everything you've ever wanted to do, even the fun things like going on vacation, require a ton of preparation and work. And even the process of going on vacation or a trip is met with struggle and striving and wrestling and all kinds of contention. So, you see, when things come easily for us in life, we are usually right to be skeptical. I mean, it's like, the things are happening too easy. Something is going to drop. The other shoe is going to drop. Something bad's going to happen, or something's not right. I don't trust it, right? That's how we get. Now, some theologies attribute this to the fact that we live in a fallen world, or we are in a fallen state as human beings. And therefore, everything we do is because of the curse, and everything in the world is going to fight us. And that's just part of the problem of growing up in the world. And I understand that theology, I get it. But I think there's so much more that can be said. I mean, it may be the case that we are in a fallen world and this is just how it is. And I'm not denying the fallen nature. I mean, certainly look around and we see areas of just darkness that could certainly be improved and better, right? This may be the case, but I would add that if it is a fallen world, it is fallen by design. It has fallen on purpose. It's not that as the fallen state is the default second plan. This was always the plan, you see. And thus, the struggle that we all face in life is not a punishment for the sin of an ancient grandfather, but the necessary context through which we can experience life and beauty. And so I'm going to connect two dots today, and that is how beauty and transcendence and life are found within the midst of struggle and striving and limping. Let's get to the story. Jacob was the younger twin of his brother Esau. Now, his name implies the grabber of the heel because Esau was born first, but his little brother Jacob was still clinging and striving to him. Though born into a lineage of great promise, you know, I mean, think about it, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he's the third one who's to receive the promise, right? He was the second born, even though he's a twin, and even though he's a few minutes later, he was the second born. And if you know the history, this means that he played second fiddle to his brother Esau. And of course, Isaac played favorites. And that's never good. If you read Genesis 25 through 27, this really tells the story of how Jacob deceives his father and his brother. He tricks Esau and ends up receiving the blessing that is due his brother because he's the older brother. So Jacob actually tricks him and ends up getting the birthright. And in some ways, you might say it was due him because his brother didn't really value it and sold it for a bowl of lentil soup earlier. But Jacob then is setting up this massive family feud. Now, there's a lot of people in the world who can relate to family feuds. Here's Jacob. He's in the middle of the thick of it. I mean, so much so that his brother wanted to kill him, that his mother sent him to live with her relatives in a distant land. Of course, the distant relative's name is Laban. And this Laban, his father-in-law, ultimately, tricks Jacob. So he had so much strife in his home of origin that he had to leave. And then he moves in to this relative's family. They take advantage of him. He's trying to marry daughters, and he's tricked over and over and over again by Laban, set back. And in, you know, it's just here he is. Most of his life, he spends striving against somebody until one day, here he is, Jacob manages to escape from Laban's, you know, rule over him. Now, imagine this. You're out in the middle of nowhere, and you've gotten, you've got now 12 kids and a couple of wives, couple of, assistants to the wives, I guess, nursemaids or whatever they call them. And you're traveling, right? You're escaping, but you're heading towards the land where your brother is, the brother who wants to kill you. But you're leaving the land of your kind of corrupted father-in-law, I should say. And he could probably kill you for just abandoning your duties and taking all the kids and family with you. So here he is in the middle, striving between two families. Now, a lot of you may feel that way, right? You strive between families. You've got family dynamics and issues and problems and dramas that are just endlessly playing out. Now, I share this backstory so that we can see that Jacob is striving or fighting on all sides. You see, he's striving with his brother, whose land he's now entering, and he's fearful of what may happen to him. And he's striving with his father-in-law, and he's fearful of what may happen to him when he's found. Jacob is in the midst of tremendous struggle. This is when he goes off alone into the wilderness, and he ends up wrestling with what he first thinks is a man. And the struggle goes on all night. In other words, Jacob is not letting up on this. In fact, he tells this stranger, this man, which we come to realize later is God, that he's not going to let go of him until he gets blessed. And maybe that's his desire to get the blessing he may not have gotten from his father. Maybe it's a desire to get the blessing of stability, which he was never able to get with his father-in-law. Whatever it may be, he's not letting go of the stranger until he's blessed. And finally, the stranger, the wrestler, strikes Jacob in the hip socket, and he realizes it's God in what he's fighting. So now you see this kind of take on another dimension, don't we? Jacob is fighting horizontally with man or his fellow man, and now he's wrestling vertically with God. And at this time, Jacob is given a new name. He's no longer called Jacob, the trickster or the heel grabber. He's called Israel, which means strives with God and prevails, or fights with God, wrestles with God. Isn't that interesting? You know, sometimes we think that our struggles mean that God has abandoned us. Some theologies and churches teach you that when you sin, you're going to run into way more struggle. And therefore, they conclude that when a person is struggling, They think it's because there's sin in their life that's unconfessed or something like that. They didn't pay their tithe. They didn't go to church enough. They're not reading their Bible. They're not faithful enough. They're not good enough. And those kind of merit system theologies really hurt us deep down. We always feel diminished and secondhand. And when life doesn't go smoothly, the first thought that comes to our minds is often that God has forsaken us. God has forgotten us. You know, atheism today, for a lot of people, they've turned to atheism because they look at the world and they see all the suffering and they determine that if there is a God, then he or she must not be very good. In other words, their assumption is that God is all powerful and God is all good. If that's all those things are true, then why is there all this worthless, meaningless suffering in the world? It's a good question. But is that a cause to move to complete unbelief? You know, a lot of religions and theologies promote the idea that if God is for you, if he's your advocate, if he's on your side, then you won't have a struggle. And they teach that God's blessing means the end of our striving, our wrestling, our problems. Therefore, they seek favor, they seek blessing, they seek all these things. But the more mature faith systems we have, all recognize that growing in your faith, growing your soul, does not mean the eradication of your suffering and your wrestling and the headwinds of your life. It means those things become catalysts to develop us along the way. You know, and this story reveals a very theological window through which we can see how suffering and struggle are, in fact, the path to God, not the path away from God. You see, so much that God names his people strives with God. I mean, if you were a God and you were going to name your people, the people that you're calling out to be your people, would you call them my little contentious people, my arguers, my wrestlers? You know, that's kind of what we have. If we would see God in the world and possess a fresh experience with this transcendent being, then we must begin to see, as Jacob did, the blessing that's contained within the struggle. It's not the eradication or the avoidance of the struggle. You see, the new name of Israel cost Jacob his hip and his old identity. That's why he's given a new name. He was given a new identity. In like manner, finding God will cost us our old name and our old identity. And for a lot of people, our identity is really wrapped up in externals. Oh yeah, we are our jobs. We are our 401k. We are whatever our income bracket is. We are our kids' lives. We are the sports we do. We are our hobbies on the weekend, right? And all those things are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. But those aren't things that actually define us. Those are activities we participate in. That's not who we are. Those are what we do. But our world has convinced us that we are what we do. And I think the opposite is true. We actually do what we are. Now, our strivings, I get it. Our struggles, our wrestlings, they wear us down. That's good. You see, they ultimately humiliate us and expose our own stupidity if we are calm enough and aware enough to actually look at it. Our sufferings wear down our abrasive arrogance. They cause us to question our self-reliance. And this is actually good. You see, if we think we can circumvent them by sheer effort or determination or come up with a better strategy, then we have not yet come to the point of throwing in the towel, nor near getting a new name, and nor are we on a trajectory where we can see God working. We're still focusing on our workings. Some of us will never get there. And that's just because we're too prideful. But remember, faith is always birthed in the moment of surrender. So if we walk with a limp, just like Jacob did, who's now Israel, Israel limps the rest of his life. It's amazing. Think about your scars. Your scars are not things that remind you of pain. Yes, they do, but that's not it. They are markers to indicate you've lived. In some cases, those scars are because you didn't risk anything. You didn't leave it out on the bench. You put it all in the game. Some of those scars came because of others' carelessness or stupidity or evilness. You know, and so you and me have to realize that our scars possess beauty beneath them. If we walk with a limp, it's because we have all faced, and it may be that we're all blessed beyond measure because of what we have faced. And how sad would it be to miss this because we're looking for it somewhere else? Ironically, when Israel's promised Messiah finally comes years and years and years later, the people, the God's people, Israel, didn't even recognize their own Messiah because they could not accept this very paradox. And that paradox is that if you would go up, if you would ascend, you have to first descend. You got to go down. Down is actually up. Giving is actually how you receive. That's how you gain, right? The things in the world are not as they originally thought. And that's the paradox that Israel could not see. And if we're honest and we look around at our modern religious world, it's really not that much different. It's created another system. It's created an alternate religion in Christianity. And its centerpiece of Jesus is an image, a structure, an idea that so many people have very fixed, limited idea of what it needs to be. And as a result, their lens is not wide enough to see this. Just like those who cannot see pain and suffering as important and ultimately beautiful. No, I know they're not fun. And I know it sucks. I know it's painful when people die. I know that it hurts when you get sick. I know that being overlooked or forgotten or dejected or wounded are miserable places to be. But out of such things come true beauty, true life, and that is what we all ultimately want. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.